Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm John Batson with my colleague, Colonel Jeff McCausland, who's returned from overseas, and I give him puzzles that no one can solve, and so I enjoy very much my conversation with Jeff. And we're looking now at what we know of a peace plan endorsed, we believe, by the Prime Minister of Israel, Mr. Netanyahu, a peace plan that involves a former Prime Minister of Great Britain, Mr. Blair, and the president. According to the president, he will be part of the peace plan for Gaza. We're also told that significant leaders in the Arab world, that's Al Thani of Qatar and Mohammed bin Salman of Riyadh and others, have endorsed the peace plan. It's 20 points. We're told that there are right now no major blocks in the Israeli cabinet. This has to do with the hostages and the cessation of activity in Gaza. The firefight continues in Gaza City. And we're told one more thing, that Hamas has not rejected it out of hand. That all looks to be moving in a good direction. How do you read it, Jeff, given that we see through a glass darkly?
Well, I think it brings up great hope, but quite frankly, the major outline of this particular agreement is not terribly different than a proposal made by Mr. Biden about a year and a half ago in May of last year. The big difference, of course, I think, is now Mr. Trump has been willing to put pressure behind the scenes on Mr. Netanyahu to come to some kind of an agreement. And perhaps the initiation of that elevated level of pressure was the Israeli airstrike on Qatar. Qatar being the only country, sadly, that's been attacked by both Israel and Iran within 11 weeks. But that seemed to scupper any possibility of a negotiated settlement because they were going after the Hamas negotiators that were operating in Qatar. But this particular proposal seems to be hopeful. In the immediate term, we know that it would call for the immediate release of all the hostages, both those living and those who are deceased. Israel, in return, would release about 250 Palestinians who are on life sentences for terrorist activities and also would release about 1,700 Gazans who have been detained since the war began. Israeli forces would withdraw to agreed-upon lines but still remain in Gaza for the foreseeable future, is the phrase used, and immediately extended international aid would begin. That's the immediate. In the longer term, it would call for initially the one you suggested, John, a technocratic, apolitical Palestinian committee that is overseen by that Board of Peace, Mr. Trump-like, which he will head along with Blair, and Hamas fighters who agree to turn over their weapons and commit to peaceful coexistence will be paroled and allowed to leave the country if they desire. And eventually then a multinational peacekeeping force will arrive with large Arab participation. There's still a lot of working parts here, John. It seems to be Arab countries have in fact accepted this, but no one has formally said they would provide troops. It appears Turkey is playing a leading role in talking with Hamas. But for Hamas, who have said they would consider this but have not bought this particular agreement, the turning over the hostages immediately removes any leverage they have. And I think they'll still be very reluctant to turn over all their weapons, fearing that the Israelis would then immediately argue that somehow the agreement has been violated and recommence hostilities. So there's still a long way to go here, John, but at least for the moment, there is cause for some optimism. Now, Mr. Trump has said Hamas has 3 to 4 days to accept this particular proposal. We're now about halfway through that period. So by the end of the week, we'll see if, in fact, Hamas accepts this and this starts moving forward.
Russia's the one with the nuclear weapons and the belligerent Kremlin. Does Russia gain or lose if there's a settlement of Gaza? Is that a difference for the Kremlin's war in Ukraine?
I think the Kremlin would largely gain, I would think. They would gain because they don't like instability. They don't like the possibility of a major regional war. They cannot provide a lot of military assistance to Iran, even though Iran was an ally of theirs and provided weaponry to the Russians, what they've used in Ukraine. At the same time, they have not been able to provide large-scale military assistance to Iran in the aftermath of the American airstrike. And I think it would stabilize oil prices, which as Russians are always concerned about, because such a large portion of the Russian economy is dependent upon oil exports.
Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army, retired. He was away for 2 weeks, and so I had to do some catching up on it. It's a pleasure to have him back. Again, Jeff served in the Gulf War, and that gives him a clarity that it's impossible to get by reading books about wars.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.